Good morning. You're listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and this morning we are talking with local writer and actor and possibly future director. What's next for Michael Ivanichko? We're here talking with him this morning about the writing process itself. And good morning. Welcome,
good
Michael.
Good morning. It is early.
It's always early. Although when this program airs, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
On a Sunday, though, so that for some people could be considered early, I suppose.
Well, this is good. I got my good raspy.
You sound kind of like a radio DJ this morning. It's working.
Yeah, nice.
So tell me about the very first thing you ever wrote. Do you remember? I think I've asked you this before when we talked about your book when you were on the show, and I don't remember if you said.
I used to take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and fold it down into like
a booklet.
Yeah, and then I would write a story on each page, like open it up, continue the story until it's like completely unfolded into like 8 different pages. But I would write stupid stuff with characters from movies that I've seen. And I was into like horror flicks growing up. So, you know, Jason
Like what
Voorhees,
kind of horror flick? Oh, like the old slasher films.
Yeah, like slasher okay. flicks. Only, you know, sprinkle in like the Go-Go's or like Madonna or someone. She's like, they're all camping somewhere. It's just really silly stuff. But
so Madonna in a slasher film. This was your, these were your childhood stories.
Yeah, pretty
I
much.
Love it. Okay. So then this led into just a whole career in writing, except not. You went on a different career path. Kind of.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. I also cut paper like the size of a paperback novel when I was like 12, and I just wrote
on an actual typewriter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I put each page in and I got about 80 pages done of a book called Ghost Town. Again, a horror.
How old were you here when you did this?
About 12.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I got old and life kind of drug me away from all that. So.
Well, wait, before we go there, let's go back and talk about you as a child and a writer, and you're 12 years old. Was this your outlet? Was this your creative outlet? Was this something that you discovered in school and found out that you were good at, or how did it happen? I feel like writers, we are an egotistical group, and we love for people to say, hey, that's really good writing. Who was it that said that to you?
Yeah. I think it was an escape
for you.
Because, you know, back in the 80s, early 80s, you know, you had one television and 3 stations. And my family basically watched sports all the time. So I really wasn't into that. And so I needed an outlet. So that's kind of what led me to a lot of reading. And then the reading led to the writing.
So your family is, you're one of brothers, sisters? What is your family dynamic?
Yeah, I have 3 brothers.
You have 3 brothers. There's 4 boys.
Yep.
Your poor mother.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's a lot. So, and you were not the athlete. You were the escape to your room with a book kind of guy.
Yep, exactly.
And that led into writing. I think that a lot of people discover that. I think a lot of people discover writing around that catcher in the rye age. You know, when you're starting to realize you're maybe don't fit in with a certain group, or you're not into sports as the rest of your family is, or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So then that led into what was the next step? You wrote this book as a 12-year-old on a typewriter with pages that you handed. So you were actually a publisher and a writer at the same time.
I guess I was, yeah.
It started then. And the book was about what?
Ghost Town. It was about a town that was slaughtered, basically.
Oh, just a good family-friendly hallmark.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, centuries later, it's reopened and there's ghosts.
Of the people that were there before.
Slaughtered people, yeah.
Yikes, that's just really heavy material for a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I know.
So what happened with the book? You took it to school and presented it, or you just kept it for yourself, or it was just the beginning?
I still have it. I just found it not too long ago. I have it just to look at and
read. In a glass case hanging on your wall.
Grammar and,
oof, yeah. How far you've come.
Yeah.
We will be back on the scene talking with Michael Ivanichko, local author, about some of the books that he has written and published and what's next. You're listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and this morning we're here talking with local author Michael Ivanichko. Michael, you have written how many books at this point in your life? including the one Ghost Town as a 12-year-old.
Oh, can we include that?
Well, I think in the beginning you include all those things, but now you are a published author. How many books do you have that have been published and are being currently sold?
Three published.
Okay.
You can find them on Amazon or my website, michaellevenichko.com. I have a TikTok shop as well. And a fourth that I just finished that I'm through a second edit on that I am trying to find a literary agent for this one.
Mm. Is this the first time you've gone after an agent?
I tried an agent in the very beginning, and I instead found a publisher, a small publishing house that I didn't need an agent for. But this one, I feel like I'm established enough and I have enough experience behind me that I can find a good literary agent and a good publisher.
So what do you look for when you're looking for a literary agent?
I found an article online that had like 600 agents looking for submissions in 2024.
And you just submitted to all. And what does the submission process look like for that?
You have to go onto each literary agency's website and find the perfect agent that's representing writers in your genre.
Okay.
And then you query them. So you have query letters. They all kind of want something different.
Okay, talk to me like I'm Michael Scott. What's a query letter?
It's basically introducing yourself and your work and just kind of technical details, how many words your manuscript is, what genre, what similar authors are out there right now, and just a little synopsis and kind of a pitch. Basically.
All right. Gotcha. And so the first time you ever have submitted anything, you get a lot of rejection letters in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
And what is that? I mean, what does that look like, a rejection letter?
Well, currently I've put out 60 query letters.
Okay.
And I've gotten about 12 no's.
12
so
no's.
Yeah.
And did they ever send a maybe? Is there ever like a, hey, we like it, but, oh, there's nothing.
Well,
there's just silence.
They're very positive, I will say. I seem to recall, like, you know, a decade ago when I was doing this, that some of them were kind of like brutal.
Like how? Like rude?
Like,
would it just be like,
your
writing's
more
terrible?
Work. Yeah, basically.
Oh,
yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Man, writers are such sensitive and sometimes introvert people that's a hard rejection process, and then just so very black and white on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Wretched. But the no's didn't continue. You found a publishing house and published
your
first
book.
Yeah, and
that just kind of happened by knowing someone, basically. I was doing a theater show, and it was the husband of one of the actresses.
Hmm.
Was a published author. And we got to talking, and one thing led to another.
And he said, hey, got this publishing house that might be interested.
Yeah.
Very cool. And the first real quick synopsis of the first three books. First book is
Life in a Supermarket Basket, and it's about a man leaving the supermarket. He gets run down in a parking lot, and all the grocery items that he left with each tell a chapter of his life.
Okay.
As his life is flashing before his eyes based on each one of those items.
Okay.
It's a quirky coming-of-age comedy.
Okay. The second book is
Life in a Savage Landfill. It's about nine strangers who wake up in a landfill. They don't know how they got there or why they're there, but they have to figure out their connections to one another and find a way out of the purposely deepened hole before the environment or the mastermind behind their abductions comes back to finish them off.
That's so strange. Like, how does that come into your mind? Where do you get an idea for something like that?
That landfill, I smell and see on the way to my parents.
Every time. And so that is
what
sparks
it. I kind of just started triggering something in my head.
Okay, it makes sense. And then the third book is?
His Life in a Neon Knapsack. It tells the story of Mamie Blackhead, a 15-year-old girl in 1986. As she's walking to school, a small commuter plane explodes overhead. And she finds, as she's running from the debris, she finds this knapsack hanging in a tree, and it has the journal of a 15-year-old boy from England who may or may not have been on that flight. So,
yeah, deep. Heavy.
Yeah, she's uncovering a mystery that will haunt her the rest of her life. Can you tell I've rehearsed all of these?
Yeah, this sounds very elevator pitchy. Like, I feel like I'm in an elevator and I'm trying to get out of the elevator and you're like trying to finish. No, I'm just kidding. I think that one is your most developed. It's the most thought out. And of course, that's something I think that happens with writers is as you continue on with your works, you mature in your writing, or maybe you just see the world in a different way. You know, you get older and your perspective changes. I think sometimes looking at authors' works and then going way back to their original works is really fun. I mean, even that 12-year-old Ghost Town, you know, revealed something about you at that point in your life that's very different than maybe now.
That's true.
We will be back on The Scene talking with local author Michael Evanichko.
You're listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we are back with Michael Evanichko, local author, who is here, and we've been talking about some of the books you've published recently, and but you have a fourth book that's coming out.
I do, yes. This is a genre book, so this is a gothic thriller.
What is a gothic thriller?
It's basically the setting has to kind of be a castle. There has to be like some supernatural elements to it, just kind of like dark, dreary.
Like an Edgar Allan Poe feel. Okay.
Yeah, some mystery, some history
darkness
in the castle. Yeah.
What made you want to write this? Are you going through a little dark spell in your writer mind, or is this just something you've had in your mind for a while and wanted to flesh out?
I figured out after the first three novels are kind of like, only the second one is kind of a genre novel. The other two are kind of multi-genre. I felt like I needed to pick one genre and go with it for marketability.
Okay.
And I've always loved those kinds of novels. Like those were the biggest, the most that I read when I was younger were like schlocky.
Sitting by a
thrillers.
Fire, dark and eerie. What kind of genre do you think you would never be interested in writing? As a writer, like, what are you totally turned away from?
That's a good question. I think, like, romance would be tough for me because, most genres are kind of cliched. Mm-hmm. You have your tropes in every single one of them, but I don't know how I could make a romance. I mean, I could make it work if I had to, but I don't think I would want to.
It'll be the sequel way down the road, like Love in a Neon Knapsack.
Ooh, yeah.
It's coming back around.
That could be, yeah.
What do you do to fight off writer's block?
I don't think I really get it, to be honest with you. If I'm having a moment where nothing's coming, then I just step away from it and come back to it. So it's nothing that lingers for like days and weeks. Mm-hmm.
How do you know when it's done?
When the project is done?
Yeah. How do you know that you've written the last? How do you know? Because I think with visual artists like painters, I always ask this when painters are on the show or people that represent visual artists, how do you know when it's done? Like, when's the last stroke? And so for a writer, it's like, when is the last edit? When do you know? When is good enough good enough?
I gotcha.
And do you ever come back to it years later and be like, God, I wish I'd written that part differently, or I wish that I had changed this?
The first book I edited for years. This, like the third book I edited, I don't know, maybe five times. So I'm on the second edit of this current book. I feel like it's pretty polished.
You edit your own book or you have an editor?
This one I have. Okay. Now I'm going to send it off to beta readers.
Okay.
And then probably send it off to a real editor.
What is beta readers?
They kind of read.
Kind of proofing company.
Yeah, they kind of read it to make sure like the story is cohesive and there aren't like continuity type things.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Just a completely objective person that has no stake in the game that can look at it and be like, yeah, you get a little plot hole here.
Correct, yes.
That's so neat. Beta readers. Okay, I got to look into that. All right. So as a writer, if you're not sitting down to write something, do you journal? Do you write other things? Do you find that you are tasked by people in your family to write things for the family? I feel like I get that a lot.
I don't get that.
No?
I don't. And I feel like when I'm done with a project, I kind of stop writing for a while.
Just walk away from it.
Yeah.
So what else do you like to do? If you're not writing, what are you doing?
You know, the acting thing.
Yeah, a little acting.
Yeah, a little acting.
And you're in the kitchen.
The kitchen.
That's coming up.
Yes.
That's
exciting. I am. And I wanted to ask you about your writing process. I feel like a lot of what you write is very similar to what I write. I think we have a complementary writing style.
Yeah. I love that we both have kind of themes that we follow. It's like you have the life in a life in a life in a, and I've kind of got the following these rooms in the shows. What are you, do you think that you'd ever write a play? Have you ever written a play?
I have, yes.
Yeah? Well, when are we going to see it?
I found one that I got halfway through, and then I had writer's block for that, but I stopped because I just felt like it wasn't
going the way you wanted it to go.
Good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, I would love to write a play. And people have suggested that I make Life in a Supermarket Basket into a play.
Well,
so.
You were describing Life in a Neon Knapsack to me. That to me seems like a film. I mean, I can see that as a screenplay and a heartbeat. Yeah. And, you know, it's a. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time. I can't believe it. Tell people how they can find your work and find out more about you and order your books.
MichaelEvanichko.com. You can find me on Amazon as well. With Black Friday coming up, I have 50% off sales happening on my website, MichaelEvanichko.com, as well as TikTok. TikTok shop I have as well. So.
Is that where you get on and dance holding your book?
That app is just crazy. And I don't, you know.
It's for the young folks, right?
It is.
Like, are we too old for that now? You're much older than me. So
yeah,
I mean, say much because you are.
There's a section of book talker, like book.
Oh, there's some really genius people on TikTok. It's not just for the dancing people, although that might be a good marketing tactic for you dancing with
for
your book.
Sure.
This is Michael Evanichko on The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you.